This is the state of things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge, and for Frank Stacio. When the Affordable Care Act went into effect, the Obama administration hoped visits to the emergency room would decrease. Instead, those expensive trips to the ER are rising. And it's one reason why health insurers in North Carolina are asking for rate increases of as much as 23% for Obamacare policies. The rising costs of health care are prompting health systems to re-examine parts of the infamous HMO models from the 1990s. Meanwhile, the state's largest insurer, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, has also sued the federal government for $130 million. Blue Cross says it's being shorted on payments designed to stabilize the market under the ACA. Jason DeBruin has been covering the rising cost of health care for Triangle Business Journal, and he joins me now on the State of Things. Welcome back, Jason.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
So Blue Cross and Blue Shield is the only company that provides insurance under the ACA in all 100 counties. What does the bottom line look like for Blue Cross and its coverage of the ACA?
Well, it's basically resulted in some losses for them. The ACA plans that they provide are in all 100 counties, but that means that their risk profile is a little bit higher than for some of the other companies that provide ACA health insurance in North Carolina, because you're talking a lot of these counties are pretty rural. Rural populations tend to have a little bit higher risk factors. So this resulted in losses for Blue Cross and Blue Shield, both in the first year that they were on and then again last year, which is resulting in some of these premium increase requests.
They just asked for a 19% rate increase for next year. Why are they saying they need that increase?
So what's happening is there's just a lot more cost associated with these ACA patients than were initially estimated. So insurance companies have, you know, big actuarial departments where they estimate if we have this many people, we're going to come up with this much in cost. Well, the problem was whenever the ACA first came online, this was a huge population of people that previously didn't have health insurance. So it was sort of an actuarial black box, if you will. What happened was, is out of the gate, Blue Cross, along with some other insurance companies, sort of underestimated the costs that were going to be associated with these patients on these plans. So in the first couple years, they incurred much higher medical bills than they collected in premiums from those plans. So ergo, you know, if you're paying out more than you're taking in, you got to raise rates. So, you know, the 19% rate that they're requesting for next year actually is on top of a 32% rate increase that they got this year. Now, some of that is just a correction more than anything. I mean, you see 32% rate increase, but as much as anything, that's just a correction to sort of get to a level where it's sort of balanced in terms of they're taking, you know, X amount in premiums and they're paying out just X minus a little bit as opposed to X minus a lot on the back end.
How have other companies that provide insurance through the ACA responded?
Similarly, so you have United Healthcare, which has pretty publicly pulled out from a lot of ACA plans throughout the nation. The critics of United Healthcare have said that that's politically motivated as much as anything. But, you know, the financials are what they are, and they have been losing money. It's fair to say that you can make this business work, I think. Blue Cross is, you know, again, doing it at all 100 counties in North Carolina. You've had Aetna that's also been a part, and now you have Cigna coming in, so there is going to be that third player, which is nice. You know, maybe three doesn't sound like a huge amount of competition, but certainly it's better than just two or absolutely better than one. So you still are going to have a little bit of competition in the North Carolina marketplace for those Affordable Care Act customers.
But you're seeing increases pretty much in all of these.
That's accurate. Yeah, pretty much everybody underestimated how much these patients were going to cost. And it really was sort of an across-the-board underestimation of, you know, these patients just tended to be more expensive than what we were expecting. And, you know, and some of that is, again, these actuarial departments didn't really know what the costs were going to be. And so, you know, they sort of said, it's probably going to be maybe a little bit more than the regular customers that we've had for, you know, decades. So we'll maybe add just a couple percentage points. Well, it turned out that it was more than just a couple percentage points. And so that's what you're seeing now and going, you know, going into the third and fourth years where you're having these percent increases for premiums.
The Affordable Care Act was supposed to cut down on visits to the ER, but that's not happening. Do we know why?
Yeah, this was one of the major contributors to the increased costs. Back when the ACA was first conceived, one of the big promises was that ER visits would be reduced. The problem you had was people who didn't have health insurance, did not have primary care health care, were not going to the urgent care. They were basically not getting any kind of health care for months, even years, even decades in some cases. And then they would have a major health care event and wind up in the ER. In an ideal world, what was supposed to happen is we offer these people affordable health insurance that is subsidized by the federal government if need be. But this gets these people with diabetes or other chronic illnesses plugged into the healthcare system where they're now seeing a primary care provider, at least on a regular basis, potentially managing their diseases. And that would reduce the ER visits, which are incredibly expensive, and thereby reducing overall costs. Unfortunately, that has not happened. And frankly, the exact opposite has happened. ER visits have actually increased, and ER visits are increasing specifically for this ACA population. We don't have great data yet on exactly why that's happening, but the prevailing thought and the prevailing estimation is that these people that didn't have health insurance before were staying out of the healthcare system completely. That even if they have, you know, some sort of a cut or an accident or fell off a ladder or something like that, they knew they didn't have health insurance, so they were afraid to go into the healthcare system, even at the emergency room level, because they were afraid of the massive costs. Now they have this health insurance card. They have an accident that's not minor, but we'll say a medium-type accident. And now they think, oh, hey, I have this health insurance card. I'll go to the emergency room, no problem. And that's the prevailing wisdom right now. And again, that's really just increased the ER visits, which is the opposite of what we hoped for, and thereby increasing costs. And therefore, you know, we're having this problem now.
Well, you can't just walk into a doctor's office like you can the ER. You know, it presupposes that you have an appointment and all of those things.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think that maybe one of the bigger failings has just been a broad-based educational forum, if you will, where we tell people who haven't had insurance and haven't had a touch point with the health insurance or with the healthcare system ever, maybe in their lives, hey, here's how you do it. You know, maybe for those of us that have had employer-based health insurance for 15 years, yeah, it makes sense. I know to call my primary care physician, or I know that if I'm going to be pregnant, that I, you know, get a good doctor to follow with me through the 9 months of pregnancy and then afterwards. But if you're maybe in a lower income situation, many of the people that you're friends with, your relatives, have never had health insurance, this isn't something that just comes natural to people. So as much as anything, I think maybe we failed on the educational side as opposed to just giving people health insurance, if that makes sense.
Blue Cross recently filed a lawsuit against the federal government. What is Blue Cross arguing?
So this is, at its base, this is somewhat political. But again, when the ACA was first imagined, the federal government sort of knew that there were going to potentially be these actuarial problems where we don't really know how much everything is going to cost. So what the federal government said is, promise to insurance companies, you provide ACA plans, we promise you that at some point will provide a backstop of you're not going to lose too much money. Okay, so fast forward 4 years, there are plenty of people up in Congress who want to do away with the ACA. It hasn't been obviously overturned, but they're trying to kill it by 1,000 cuts. One of those cuts is wrangling up these sort of backstop payments in red tape. Well, now Blue Cross has said, hey, you promised us that if we lost X amount of dollars that you were going to cover some of it. Where's our money? Now, you know, the first people who thought of the ACA, I think that they would be happy to make those payments. But those people up on Capitol Hill who want to kill the ACA, they're sort of wrangling some of these payments up in red tape, again, in hopes that this can be one of the 1,000 cuts to do away with the entire Affordable Care Act. But Blue Cross is still saying, hey, we want this money. We're short at least $300 million, maybe more. So, hey, we need this money. And so that's why they filed the lawsuit.
Where does North Carolina stand when it comes to the number of people who still don't have health insurance?
So before the ACA went into effect, North Carolina was one of the states with the highest number of uninsured patients. That's partly because of the way our Medicaid system is set up. It's pretty restrictive as to who can qualify. Fast forward, ACA is implemented. States are supposed to expand Medicaid. As you know, North Carolina was one of those that, after the Supreme Court ruling, decided we do not want to expand Medicaid. So there's an entire population there of people up to 134% of the poverty line that are sort of in that donut hole that are being missed out. So to answer your question directly, 13% of the population in North Carolina still are uninsured. Now, that's a good bit lower than 5 years ago. Five, 6 years ago, we were up in the 20% range. So we've come down a good bit. However, we are still higher than many other states, particularly those states that did expand Medicaid, where you have, you know, percentages as low as 5 and 6% of the population that are uninsured.
Is there any thought that that number of uninsured is going to go down? I mean, are there more people signing up? Do we see any programs implemented to get that?
There absolutely are programs, and there, you know, the federal subsidies, of course, are there for people to buy ACA plans. But at the end of the day, the only way to make any kind of a meaningful dent in that number is to expand Medicaid. Not advocating for it, not saying it's a good idea or a bad idea. That's just a simple fact. Unless you expand Medicaid, you're not going to see that uninsured number go down in any kind of a meaningful way.
Jason DeBruin is a reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. Jason, thanks for the update.
Always thanks to be on. Always glad to be on. Thanks very much.
Just ahead, a high school teacher in North Carolina wrote a book about why some students succeed and others don't. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.